Welcome to the RR Podcast. We bring you the latest in Tokyo news, in-depth discussions, and everything else that you could ask for, all with a healthy dose of insanity. So here are your hosts, Shugun Shinobi, Dawson Rider, Jedimon, and Aerosol. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles, Season 5. Ready? Go!
Hello, welcome to RS Season 5, Episode 3.
I said you farewell. Get it? He dead.
He dead. Fuck you.
He got his cherry popped.
Oh my god.
It was like, boom! You could just hear the squish. It was pretty gross.
Spoilers.
Think spoiler alert.
An asshole.
He went in that crack and got his cherry popped.
It's funny because that's what happens.
It's true.
All right. Moving along into the one-ups. I've actually got a lot of crap this week as opposed to last week when I didn't get anything. Dragonzord's here. He's cool. I got a Gaim statue. That's cool. I got little tiny GoBuster mecha candy toy whatever's. They're horribly unpainted, but they're cool. What else did I get? I got the Super Mega Force Mini Battle Ready team because my Toys R Us had them. So they're.
But are they really battle ready?
No, they would lose.
I knew it.
The one singular X-Borg that pack comes with just annihilated all.
He's doing like a soft dance number, like he's got his hands out, like he's like one, two, three.
Who's that?
That's X-Borg. Pretty much as threatening as the Armada is. So,
so those are all here. That about covers most of it. I made it sound like I had a lot more than that.
You usually do.
For some reason, I thought I did. I've got a. Nothing. I'll stick Gaim statue is very beautiful, though. Like, I want more of these. Now.
Not more characters, just more Gaim statues.
Yeah, just all.
And then we're going to give them out like Dundies at Morphicon. We should do the Dundies! Quick, find a Chili's in California.
I'm sure they have one. It's a national chain.
Damn it! Remember when I thought White Castle was there and then my heart was broken?
That was upsetting.
You were really upset.
I was, and then we had to face In-N-Out. So somebody posted on Facebook today, 21 things you didn't know about In-N-Out. I was like, that they're trying to brainwash you, and the only ones that passed by it were us. Seriously. I was like, it's so amazing. I'm like, seriously, someone pissed on those fries. I think someone peed on them.
Did you see my Ask FM where someone's like, what's the worst thing you've ever eaten?
Yeah.
In-N-Out burger.
But Aerosol can't wait for us to take him there.
This is initiation into the group.
I am morbidly curious. No.
There's no way we're not going back to try it again, and we have to eat it by a baseball team. Go Team Orange.
Are we seriously going to eat In-N-Out burger again?
Yeah.
We're ordering off the secret menu, though. Maybe it'll be better, because they keep their good food a secret like all good businesses.
And, oh my god, I'm going to have to eat like a chipmunk again, aren't I?
I'm going to order a Carl's Jr. and see if they give it to me. Like, I'm going to be like, yeah, do you got any Carl's Jr. here? Because your food is terrible.
And they're really going to piss on your fries.
It's like they weren't going to do it anyway.
So gross.
Now there's just awkward silence.
I'm going to have to eat like a chipmunk, aren't I?
Yes.
Yep.
Everything needs to be exactly the same.
Well, then we have to have Dawson's mom instead of Aerosol. Wait, Aerosol can be Dawson's mom.
That would be awkward.
Tiff at the Burbank airport.
Over a sweatshirt.
Dawson can go.
Okay. I haven't bought a whole lot in person. I did buy the Voyager Optimus Recess version, or whatever he's called, but he's actually a really cool figure.
It's evasion mode. How do you get that wrong?
I have no idea. He's like movie one Optimus, but he transforms into like a G1 style. That's essentially what he is. He's kind of like a scaled down Voyager Optimus from Revenge of the Fallen. That's essentially what he reminds me of, but he's pretty awesome. Anyway, as far as like online purchases, my Jimba Gaim finally arrived. Like, it took forever. I managed to get a Duke off Mandrake. Like,
which one did you buy?
The one to the left. I don't know how to answer that.
like, where from and how much did you pay for it?
It was Shibuya for $3,000.
I was just trying to see because, like, I know there was a couple I went to go buy, and right before I did, they were gone.
I think I
had one in a cart, and I started to go through the checkout process, and they're like, nope, LOL.
Well, that's never happened to me. Usually they send me the disappointing news later about my Gosei watch. But I think that's all I got online. I've been spending the majority of my time watching random shows. I watched the entirety of Firefly over the week and the movie Serenity. Firefly was really, really mediocre. I don't know what the big deal about it is.
It was awesome. Like, the fuck
it was
wrong
people
with you?
Talking quietly in a ship. And the penultimate episode was about whores. It was about them protecting
episode.
A whorehouse.
Yes, it was
and they
fantastic.
Trained the whores to fight.
That
was
fantastic.
So dumb. They're like,
did
oh
you
God.
See Adam Baldwin?
He was probably my least favorite character.
What?
He was such
how
a douche.
How do you exactly? That is the appeal of Jane Cobb. He is a douchebag who just loves to shoot people.
He had a couple lines I liked, but the show itself was mediocre, but the movie was really, really awesome and made the show worth watching because it was kind of nicer knowing who the characters were. But he had a couple good parts, like that one I put on Twitter and when...
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic.
I don't remember who said it. I think it was whoever Jasmine was, the black chick. She went on to play Jasmine Angel.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
But she said, like, oh, who am I kidding? We're not going to make it. And then Jane just said, well, I might... It was just really funny, the way he said it. And there was one other funny bit that really stood out when they were under attack from that black guy trying to steal River in the finale, and they made it seem like Jane was gonna, he pulled down this blanket and there was this arsenal of guns, and he just pulled the blanket over himself. So that was pretty funny.
Well, you know, Kaylee, the chick who the mechanic chick.
Uh-huh.
She was in Space Cases with Walter Jones.
Oh. That's interesting.
Fun fact.
I love Space Cases. Fuck you.
I think we established that a few weeks ago.
We did.
Probably years ago at some point. But yeah, so I watched that, and then now I'm watching... I actually started Scandal, and I started back up Arrested Development. And is there anything else? Oh, yeah, I finished Samurai finally, and I decided to start a complete rewatch. Big mistake. MMPR is, like, trash. It's, like, so terrible. It makes Samurai look even more amazing. It's like, how did I like this when I was little? This is awful. But, yeah, I think that's about it. I've just been kind of crossing stuff off my watch list. Season 5, Episode 3, the episode of Awkward Silences.
Well, you're done?
Yeah. I just stopped.
Oh, sorry.
Do I have to announce it? And here endeth the lesson.
And, I got a couple of boxes in. I got my Deno Resha today. Stop it. And I got my the Kabuto and Kabuto and Deno Detail of Heroes books that I ordered. Those I think I ordered them with Jinba Gaim, so Jinba Gaim should be getting here in a couple of days. I don't know because. It was, like, in Texas or something, I think, the last time I checked the tracking. It's been on one of those really weird paths to get here. And I did get a Duke. Duke should be here in a couple of days. I think it just shipped. And I'm trying to think if I don't think there's anything else off Mandarake, because I've been trying to not do that. But actually, I don't think I bought anything else either. Yeah, it's been pretty boring. I made it to World 4 in Yoshi, and that's about all I've been doing lately. I finally finished Arrow, because it took a while to finish that, but I got through it. Hopefully now I can go watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., because I need to do that still, because I hear it's awesome. So, but yeah, that's pretty much all I've been doing. Was putting up a bunch of reviews, trying to clear out this backlog of videos off of my computer from months and months ago. I just never made it up. That's why I just uploaded fucking Odin and Ryuga from like a year ago. Alright, Aerosol. It's up to you to bring it on home.
God damn it. I'm trying. Well, I have been sick the past few days, and I know what you're thinking. Aerosol. Herpes. How do you come up with such interesting stories? I gotta tell you, don't have an end to this joke. But aside from that, today I decided to donate to the Humble Bundles. I don't know, for whatever reason, the RPG Maker that they have going on their site now just seemed interesting to me, so I paid $6 for like over $100 worth of games, so that's cool. Geez.
That's certainly a thing.
Yeah, it is. Aside from that, I haven't really been doing much.
That's upsetting.
Yeah, I started a new D&D campaign with a couple of friends of mine, but that hasn't really gotten too far. I became a talent agent. I'm not sure how that happened.
In the D&D game?
Yeah, in the D&D game. Not in real life.
Damn it! I was hoping I could finally go places. I was like, this here's my chance.
How can I ask why a D&D game would have a talent agent?
I just started acting that way.
Well, who like else is I, going to hire Hector the Well Endowed?
Was like, you're going to be a star kid. You're going places. I actually talked myself out of a fight by doing that. By telling him that if he gave me his name, I could make him like a star. And I just kept doing that to everyone. So I, you know, proclaimed myself to be a talent agent to, I guess, the medieval folk.
Someone's got to hire Hector the Well Endowed.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
It's really funny. Like, you made it sound like you casually became a talent agent.
Oh, man. Guys, I have decided to leave the field of psychology and pursue my real dream.
Being a talent
helping
agent.
Other people to pursue their real dreams.
It's a real dream right there. My dream is to let other people chase their dream. Go me.
And make money off of it.
That's the best part.
Alright. Ryan needs money.
Always do.
Poor bastard.
So how about that news?
I am nude. Where do you want to start? Tokuger, well, Gaim.
Well, dude.
Nudity.
We'll follow our path of suffering and do Tokuger first.
Yes. Suffering? What the fuck are you talking about, suffering?
Suffering.
Never mind.
What?
I still like the Safari Rushes. I think they're really neat.
I like the power-up it gives them.
So, Wright gets Box Claws. Tokati gets Gao Yellow's Wings.
That's Neo actually one of my favorites.
Gao Yellow's Claws. Or any of the Go Rangers' Claws. That's all she gets. Hikari gets a recolored Dino Scrander. And and Kagura gets a bear suit.
Because she's a furry.
I love the bear suit. I like everyone's like, oh, weapons or something related to the animal. And while Kagura's is definitely related to the animal, I love how it's just a giant, like, fursuit.
Like, well, she got a panda.
And isn't the bear suit, like, brown or something? Or was that scan just off?
I'd have to look at it again. It might just be off.
I hope the scan's off because it's kind of bothering me. But anyway, was there a whole lot else in... Oh, the fucking Rokugo. Duh.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, for the movie... Well, for the movie, there was that chick conductor and her puppet.
Oh, did she have a puppet?
Is that more exciting than the Orange Ranger?
She has a puppet. Yes, the puppets are fucking exciting. And then there's the villain, and they showed the villain, and that's not exciting at all, but he's a villain. But yeah, the chick has her own puppet. So I want to see the puppet interact with Ticket.
I actually just now read Tokyo 6's bio for the first time, mm-hmm. Which I guess since we're doing a new segment, is that he was once a Shadow Line monster. And one day he saw a beautiful rainbow and decided to fight for justice.
He saw the Reading Rainbow Restoration campaign and he was like... I thought that's what Aerosol donated to for a minute ago in the one-ups.
I like, did too. I was
going to do a counteroffer to TV Rainbow for the new generation.
But, such a douche.
Yeah, this is the first time I actually read this little bio. I kind of dig the idea of him being one of the, you know, bad guys.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting idea because we've had sort of cases like that before, but not to the point where he was literally... a villain monster that was just decided to be good and then became a ranger.
Because, you know, before it was the classic case of an evil mask.
Yeah.
You know, Dogold, Zenaku, whatever his dumbass American... Or his Loki. Zenaku's so much cooler sounding.
Or you had things like Boken Silver. Like Boken Silver here. Yeah, like Mercury. Where, like, he was,
cursed.
Like, cursed, and then we broke the curse, and so he's, like, his skin melted away. I don't remember what
his
happened.
His personality was better as a lizard.
And, yeah, well, his acting was better because you couldn't see his face. It was just a static monster face, so. But, yeah, I'm intrigued by it. I want to see the transformation happen. I want to see how this works. Apparently... I don't know how Trevor. HJU posted its facts, so I take it as, you know, probably not true. But they said he gets his thing from the conductor, his changer. I want to see that. I just want to see, like, oh yeah, this is a new style. It's a new style of changer. Like, so I want to see how they went from a little wrist mount, I think, to I made you an iPhone.
They had to change with the times.
Yeah, I just. I just love the idea of the iPhone changer, and I want to see it in action in the show. Like, and how the actual effect sequence works.
Like, I always dug the suit, the orange suit, when we saw the leaked early pics, but, like, the clearer pics make me like it even more. It's pretty cool looking.
It is a really cool suit.
Really dig it.
And it says, like, they said, like, his suit is, like, stronger or something like that, and he's, like, more powerful than the other five. I'm like, well, that's good. I just want to know how you suddenly develop imagination. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how they explain why a Shadowline monster can actually, you know, use these powers.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Because he saw the rainbow. He tasted it. He had Skittles.
I want to taste your rainbow.
And he's like, man, that shit is good.
It is funny, his monster form is essentially just like a cowboy that can control rain, and then he turns into a human who wears like a hard hat and one of those like reflective vests.
Looks like he walked right out of Bob the Builder, to be honest.
Bob the Builder, can we fix it? Bob the Builder, yes we can.
With enough imagination, we can do anything.
That's right.
You know what that means? Sex. Oh. No.
What?
I don't know.
How did you get sex out of that?
He said we could do anything.
Oh.
Anyway.
Such a creepy fucker.
But I'm looking... Who's talking?
I'm not creepy at all.
But I'm really looking forward to seeing him in the show. I hope it kind of brings my interest back to the show. Yeah. That's all. I have to say that I had more, and then I was like, oh,
how do you not have interest in the show? I love the show.
It's pretty boring.
I have so much fun with it.
So, we also have a bunch of Gaim scans.
Let's talk about that Gaim.
It is that Gaim.
I guess to start with the least interesting bit of the news, Yami Gaim.
I knew you were going with that, too. As soon as you said least interesting, I'm like, we're going for Black Gaim.
This is no Gaim for racism.
He's that Black Gaim.
Like, it's not that different, but I honestly really like it just because I'm a sucker for those sort of black versions. You know how I like my black guys.
That's right.
No, but I really dig it. It's really simple. I don't like the whole, you know, guy turns evil randomly, but I like the suit. I want to know, like, you know, blood orange is an actual thing, so what are these supposed to just be, like, rotted fruit? Like, they just left the lemon and orange out too long, and it turned into black-suited Spider-Man, but with Gaim?
I guess we'll have to find out, won't we?
On the next maybe Dragon Ball Z.
Maybe his lock seeds got corrupted.
Probably from the whole soccer.
God damn.
Soccer.
I know I got that.
But I like it.
But, yeah, I mean, that's a thing. I'm wondering if they're going to give us lock seeds of that, like another exclusive set.
Probably.
Featuring those and, like, Matsubokuri energy or something.
We also had two new movie writers.
We did.
Apple ones.
I really and like them.
The red one's really gorgeous. Awesome. The blue one's not as awesome, but I don't really remember what he looks like. The blurry like picture just didn't look as awesome.
I like them both. I'm be honest.
Malice totally has Deno's face on his chest.
Don't you mean Kabuki? God, Brian. Kabuki confirmed. But actually, it's just actor. Wait. Like, that whole new story was like, oh, this is confirmed. Wait. And then, no, it's actually this. Wait. It's like, wait. Take a minute. It's just,
yeah, that was so messed up. Like, okay, it's portrayed by a Kabuki actor. Oh, so it's Kamen Rider Kabuki. No, it's Kamen Rider Mars. He's just portrayed by a Kabuki actor. So it's the same actor as Kamen Rider Kabuki. No.
None of these people take a breath before they report these stories.
Well, and then the funny thing is the way some of these titles, and I don't know if it's the way the title of the article is or the way the title just gets posted when they put it on, like, Facebook and Twitter and shit, but, like, they were posting it as, like, where the character name, it's like Kamen Rider, and instead of, like, Malice or whatever, it's, like, the character's name. And I'm like, that sounds like a weird writer name. And you click it. Oh, that's the character's name. Like, I don't know what the fuck they were doing. Like, they were just, like, drunk when they wrote these stories.
My favorite writer is Armored Rider Kota. And Armored Rider Michi.
Like.
Armored Rider Pekko.
That's why I hate most of these news sites, because they're so fucking stupid. Douchebags.
Malice does look awesome, though.
He's badass. That's what you get from the mascot of all fruit.
He's got that sword and shield combo. Like,
that's so never been done. It's like, what?
No, but
a sword and a shield?
Ass.
So you can defend yourself when you fight? What?
But it looks so badass, Dawson.
The sword and the shield are standing next to each other.
No, no, they look like together. I mean, you didn't show all your Kyuger figure arts together, Dawson. I don't know what they look like.
I know. Like, I wish I knew someone was going to say that every time. It's like, just picture it in your mind. Damn it. I'm not going to pull them all down from my display and take them downstairs to the review station so you can see what they look like together. Oh, now I'm just getting mad. Oh, got to calm down.
I'm all worked up. But no, I really like the two riders, and they're probably going to be premium set 5. Since it's being teased as a 2-pack, and that's really the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah.
Unless it's Dark Jimba Lemon and Kurokage Shin.
That would just make me upset. Like, I almost wouldn't buy that one on principle.
Folks, he said almost, so. But
then I would.
So he's still buying it.
Absolutely, because I need everything.
That's what Brian's collecting motto. Yeah.
What a tool.
It's either one or all of them. That's how I do things.
How do you go for just one? It should either be none or all. That's how I go.
That's how it usually is, but I was being nice to myself.
Well, you're an idiot.
What are we talking about?
I don't know.
Penis.
Absolutely, that was it.
Speaking of penis, Kiwami arms.
Speaking of Dawson's KKK friend.
So, yeah, we got little pictures of that from the movie, and then we got clear pictures over the week, and he is certainly an interesting friend.
I like him.
I think he's grown on me a bit. I still think he's very strange, and I think Katsudoki looks way more awesome, but I think my least favorite part is the fruit collage on the chest. It's like it's trying too hard to let you know that he has all the powers. It looks like one of those people that has too many bumper stickers on it.
I like that cornucopia on his chest. It reminds. Well,
I don't like the word cornucopia.
It does look a little off, down in the valley. just given how all of the other armors have just been the whole fruit that kind of, you know, unfolds into armor.
Yeah.
To have it just sort of be like painted fruit onto his chest plate looks a little odd. I think from different angles, it looks a little bit better, but it does look a little weird.
I kind of wish it was just a cool design or something that just didn't look so forced.
The suit as a whole, though, has really grown on me. I kind of like the whole idea of, you know, Katsudoki being the, like, you know, the heavy armored one, and then Kiwami being the key that sort of unlocks it and, you know, unveils the power, like, hidden underneath. It's kind of a neat concept. We've seen it before, but
chains him.
I do kind of like it. And
break
the
chain.
It took me a while to really figure out why he looks so weird outside of the, you know, the fruit mural.
This is a funny way of putting it. Luckily, you just picture a painter going to town on his chest.
And I think it's because he's nowhere near as armored as everyone else.
Yeah.
Because instead of, like, gaining armor, and instead of the final form just being a new set of armor, he actually just sort of takes it off. So he's a lot more streamlined than everyone else. But I like it. The whole idea of it kind of grew on me a lot, and especially seeing where it comes from in the show really helped to sort of ease my opinion on it.
Regarding the fact that he basically, like, kind of de-armored, apparently it's modeled after Nobunaga's armor, and he wore a very thin, kind of agile armor, so that's why he isn't that armored, which I think is kind of neat. It has a reason for being like it is, and I think that's pretty cool.
It's modeled after Nobu-kun in his underwear.
It's modeled after Zet.
What?
Because in Tokiger, Zed was Nobunaga from the...
Oh yeah, we discussed that, didn't we?
Team-up movie thing and jokes.
I forgot we discussed that.
Okay, things Zed, I Zed, like... Zeddy. I like the cape. He's got a cape.
That'd be a good
awesome
title.
I do love capes.
I know, right?
No capes, darling.
The design definitely grew on me. I still think it's weird, and I like Katsudoki more. But I don't hate it as much as I initially did now that we have clear picks. The rainbow visor kind of threw me for a loop.
It
kind of looks like someone
visor
shoved Ankh into his head.
I love
really,
the rainbow
I really
visor
dig it, though.
But I do like it getting more clear on picks. I like the mass amount of locks on his belt. He's got eight total, because he's got the six on the two holders, and then Katsudoki and Kiwami. So That's kind of cool and makes me want another friggin' lock holder because I'm stupid like that. But yeah, it's really grown on me. I kind of like the fruit armor thing. I get where it's kind of gaudy and weird, but I like it. I also kind of like how Aerosol called him a metallic zebra.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
But I don't know if it was on purpose or not, but it looks exactly like Himawari. And I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not, but that's what it reminds me of.
What if that ends up being the secret real forbidden Luxeed? It's like, it was a nut all along.
You like your forbidden fruit, you've been using it. It's this little shit one.
It's the one that just makes bird noises at you.
And I dig the concept of being able to use like all these different weapons. It should make his fight scenes
pretty
really
fun.
Interesting. Because whereas like he's probably more than likely going to use it a lot. But by having all of these weapons, it will make the fight scenes hopefully a lot more entertaining.
Maybe he'll actually use Ryugen's gun as a fucking gun instead of just bashing people with it like a club.
What do you bet that Bravo's and Greedon's weapons will make more appearances as Kiwami than they will as during the actual Riders? Probably going to happen.
Well, you know, in the movie, Gaim's going to use Donguri arms and Durian arms.
I thought that was kind of cool.
I'm kind of excited.
Like, you guys aren't using these.
This movie's kind of baffling because, like, they're pumping it up as a soccer thing, and then you have to remember that you've got this Lapras. I keep wanting to say Lapras, and that's a Pokemon.
I choose you.
But
ride me. drive me. No. Damn it! I'm supposed to ride it.
No, just stop.
I'm sorry. I was trying to fix it.
You made it worse. So you've got like that guy, and who's the silver one, and then you got whoever's the gold one. So you got those two.
Gold power.
There's either going to be an evil Kota or Kota turning evil. You've got Kurokage Shin for whatever reason. You've got all these fucking things happening in this movie, and I'm like, well, what route are you going? Because when they initially announced the soccer thing, I'm like, oh, it's going to be this like kind of joke movie, haha. And then they're like, oh, here's Apple Riders and Evil Gaim. I'm like, okay, we're doing that too.
Both the movies look really stupid, I'm going to be honest.
There's the mascot of all fruit.
We got the like those first photos that were released. And I thought it was kind of funny because we make so many jokes about, you know, all the Kamen Riders standing right next to each other in a big line. And, you know, one of the pictures is just all of the Gaim Riders standing next to each other in a big line. And it actually looks kind of weird because everyone in that line has backstabbed someone else in that line at one point.
It's like, I wouldn't want to be in that lineup. It'd be stressful.
Like they've backstabbed at least one person in that line.
I don't want to stand next to this guy. He's betrayed me in the past, and we don't have a good history.
Oh, that's so
funny. It'd be like one of those puzzles where you have to position the people in the proper order.
So they don't kill each other?
Michi can't stand next to Kota because he wants to kill Kota.
Michi can't stand next to anybody. He could find a reason to kill anyone. He cut me in line in the third grade. Bitches gots to go. I mean, he went off the rails because a girl slapped him.
That's
what...
That's certainly true. Also penis.
Michis be crazy.
Bitches be acting wild.
I think that's...
Need to keep your hoe on a leash. Michi's running wild, man.
I think with that, our news segment is kind of...
Yeah, JDS been kind of quiet this week, so...
He's just been giving out more trash.
I don't get that. Like, if you're going to want to do more giveaways, why doesn't he just give away signed pictures or figures or something? Why are you signing your receipts and your luggage receipts?
I told
receipts?
You, because then people won't buy the pictures when they go to conventions.
Oh, that's true. But it's so dumb.
It's a business strategy.
It's a Cash strategy.
He's an idiot, okay? He's a...
So were they just sitting in a meeting and JDF just glances down at the trash, sees an old ticket stub? Guys, I just had a $1 million business idea. Sorry, we're just looking at the trash. I know. Green! And then he walked out of the meeting.
No, he just looks down at the trash and goes, yeah.
They did... it's kind of a funny thing to bring up, but they did fix the green stripe. I mean, silver stripe. Yeah. There we go.
Well, it was all his.
It's his idea.
It's his idea. It's all
his
idea.
I told you, he probably just went up to Zatcher and did exactly what I just did. He went, green! And then walked away and he assumed that they understood him. Which they probably did. They've known him a long time.
Like, and they made them morph for gold.
I love gold! That's what he said to them also.
Like, I'm glad they fixed the morpher, because that kind of bothered me, but the stripe bothers me even more now than it did when it was silver. I like the silver.
I didn't even notice the morpher wasn't gold, I'm not going to lie.
I didn't until it was pointed out to me, but...
I wasn't looking at JDF's crotch, so...
And then when it was pointed out to me, it's all I could see, but...
JDF's crotch?
Yes.
That's fucking weird, man. Like... Yeah, I didn't even notice that. And then, but then it's still noticeable, like the stripe, because it's the wrong color green.
To be honest, I didn't notice that until someone pointed that out. But you know, the thing is, it really is a trivial thing to argue over. But I wasn't trying to argue against anyone when I said I liked it. I legit liked the way it looked. I thought it made it look like an older version of the Green Ranger. I liked the idea of the costume changing. It made it kind of. Me, like, more okay with him using that suit, because it seems so strange that he would be using that suit this far into his career as a Ranger. It just seemed weird, but it's whatever.
The powers are gone.
Sentinel Knight probably just revived him all. He's like, fuck it, reboots for everyone. You get a power! You get a power! Everybody gets a power! Mac, you got a heart. You don't get any powers. You're out of the Legend War.
It's fucked up.
It's really funny. Like, it's fucked up, man. After all Mac did for everyone.
After all that roboting he did. But yeah, that's... I guess that's about it. Nothing anything else before we move along?
Nope.
So now it's time for superhero time!
It's getting weirder every week.
I know.
Small Mexican like... man version.
I was like, what?
The touch of Gilman.
I was trying to be Ticket, but it didn't really work too well.
Kind of sound like a demented Luigi.
Tokyuja, Shubat, Shinko, Gaim, Fruit Cornucopia.
Damn it!
That's why I did it. I did it specifically to piss him off.
Damn it.
So we're on episode... What episode is this week? 10?
14?
Really? I don't
it's
know.
13, numbers. Idiots.
I haven't been watching... It is 10, 14. I haven't paid attention to the numbers.
10? Are you, Brian? You're a month ago.
You know what it is that's where I am on the podcast I've been listening to.
Okay.
So yeah, so that's... We're on episode 14. It was fun. I liked seeing Sherlock Holmes Hikari. I just thought that was a funny costume change, and everything conductor was doing on the train, I found it hilarious.
I my favorite part of this episode was anytime Ticket spoke. Because he was the only one that was questioning why these people were acting like complete idiots.
What are you guys doing? Why are you people doing this?
I like when the conductor was looking out the window. He's like, you can't even see it from here.
Like, he's just sort of walking slowly across the train, and he's got this stern look. I don't know. I really dug that. The whole sort of everyone believing that they're in a cop drama thing. There were moments in the episode that were more or less give or take for me, but that part, for whatever reason, made me really laugh.
Well, I thought it was hysterical.
Right, we're ready to confess over some food. Like, goddamn it, right? Like,
don't eat the donuts.
They were gonna put on prison stripes because people apparently somewhere still use the black and white striped outfits for prison.
I watched Prison Break. They don't.
Yeah. That was kind of funny, but and then all randomly, in the monster's loot. Oh look, here's a police Russia.
While okay, we're here, hold on. Admittedly, at the very beginning, I was trying to render out this video, so I wasn't paying full attention. Did they mention the support train at all?
They didn't
not that I remember.
No, they didn't mention.
Why did I'm not right even a lot. Look on the table?
He saw a police car.
Just looked down. I think he just was like, oh. Oh, look, here's the train. Like, he's looked down for no real reason and then just saw a train.
It was a pretty sloppy introduction episode. They're like, we got to make this police themes because police, how do they find it? It's just on a table. Like, what is this, Fize? They just mail it to him. He finds it in the grass. That's how he got his final form. That's how it happened.
I honestly forgot that the police Russia was supposed to premiere this episode. I didn't remember until they actually just sort of found it.
Everything seems so close together. Like, I know that nowadays it is close together, but usually we have at least one episode in between. But now it was like Dieselo, Super Tokyo, and then Fire, Police. And it's like, Jesus, give us a break.
We're on episode 14 and we already have 10 trains total.
Man.
It's too many trains.
Not counting Kyoryuger and Deno.
Well, and then in a couple of weeks, we're going to be getting Rokugo and Build Dio.
Yeah. So there's 11. 12 if you count Build as 2.
Yeah, and then we're going to get Choo Choo Tokyo.
Choo Choo.
Thanks, Brian.
But I love how they get off the train. They're like, all right, we're here in this new station. You're under arrest. We just got here. I know, but you probably committed these robberies.
You know what I was thinking?
What?
Can they run their fingerprints and find out who they are? Run their faces through the database? There's got to be some kind of record of these people. Seriously. Last week, my idea was Google them. This week, just get yourselves arrested. Facial recognition, something?
I don't know. What?
But yeah,
I liked Conductor's giant sunglasses.
There's no apology. He's like, nope, I won.
Nope, I won. Gave off a CSI Miami vibe.
Thoughts on CSI Miami?
No talent, douchebag.
Yeah, I found the episode to be amusing. For whatever reason, Hikari was smoking his kendama during certain scenes. He's just like puffing on it. I'm like, are you smoking that?
Total kendama action.
I absolutely love Hikari. Like, he's just so funny.
I do like that this episode was sort of showcasing how Hikari can be really imaginative. Because for the most part, he's pretty level-headed compared to the others. But this was, like, the one thing that he lets himself kind of go wild with. I kind of like it.
And he's usually pretty quiet, too. I mean, he kind of stays to himself a lot of times. Like, they were going off, and he's like, I'm going to finish this book. It's the opposite of what Dawson would do.
Exactly. I would be like, I'm going to finish the show.
I also like how in the fight scene, like, out of all of them, Kagura was the only one to, like, fully embrace this whole detective thing. Like, she flat on, like, just mimicked Hikari to the extreme. And because she's always been the one with, like, the most imagination. And I like how they kind of shown that by making her the only one to go, like, full out detective.
But, and then Tokata just there. I want a lawyer. I'm not. I want a lawyer. Like, don't say anything, Kagura. You're the weak link here. Turns out it was right. I'll say we did it. Just give me some food. God damn it, right?
Comment funny Brian made about the donuts reminded me of the scene from Transformers with Anthony Anderson. He's like, don't eat the donuts. Then they don't know you're not guilty. I ate the whole plate. The whole plate. He's all confident when he walks in. Don't talk to me, criminal. Don't talk to me. Don't get on the carpet. My grandma wouldn't like anyone on the carpet, especially police. And then his character was never seen again. Anyway. Gaim?
Yeah.
I think our revolution talk was longer. I was just making that a goal, because I promised myself. Thanks, me. We did it.
Longer than the Tokyo discussion?
Yep.
Okay.
I just fist bumped other me for making that happen. Now I'm getting weird. Let's talk about Gaim. Otherwise, I'll just stop. No, I'm still going. Somebody stop me.
Okay,
I'll
shut
talk
up.
Talk about
now.
Your mom.
There we go. Okay, Gaim. So this week's episode was another good episode. I wanted to bring up, though, I rewatched it again today in which it came off better. Not that it came off bad, but did anybody else feel a sort of disconnect in the pacing because of how last week's episode kind of sandwiched in between this? I feel like it would have just flowed a lot better if we would have gotten them one right after the other.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're supposed to go right into each other.
Yeah. But I just, like, I wasn't trying to be like, oh, the guy had ruined everything, but it just kind of did throw me off a little bit. Like, it took me out of that moment.
Yeah.
For a minute. So I kind of, like, I felt a lot better today when I watched it. Like, it, I think because I got to digest it twice and it just wasn't, you know, two meals. I don't know. Getting weird again. But, yeah, it made a bit of a difference rewatching it. It was just kind of weird, and it's kind of unfortunate they got sandwiched there, but there really isn't a good place with Gaim, because if they would have put the episode after this one, it would have been even more awkward. but yeah, it was a good episode. It brought up, well, obviously Cid died. We spoiled that with the title. and Michi was just kind of like, God, this is such an obvious ploy. This is like rank amateur stuff. I wouldn't even try to pull this. This is how you murder people? but yeah, that happened. But I think the most interesting thing for me, which was, you know, the Overlord, the Broken to Our World, was talking about strength and how the strong are there to prey on the weak, which was essentially Kaido's philosophy. And, you know, Koda sort of bringing that up later. And then Kaido saying to Koda that he needs to get strong, which I got the impression that when he was, like, reiterating his thoughts that he's like, yes, that's the way I feel, is that the strong should make the weak suffer, is that he was saying that Kota, you know, needs to become stronger to make the overlords weak and then make them suffer. That's kind of what I got from it.
He looks kind of like him.
Thanks, Kevin.
You know, I saw somebody mentioning something about the overlords being a comparison to the Gaim Riders.
Yeah.
And you can see that with, you know, the way they talk. And Michi was talking to that green one, whose name I really don't know.
Redaway.
Overlord Michi.
Exactly, because Redaway makes sense being the green one. And, you know, which, you know, of course, Michi's Ryugen suit's all green and purple, so this guy is green. You can see in the head and kind of in the body where it looks kind of like that, the Budo armor a little bit, and that. That's like that sweeping bag headpiece, or like you'll look at was it Demushu? Is that the red
yes.
one?
Yeah. Park.
It looks kind of like Baron. Baron's suit's red, and the way Demushu's chest kind of goes, it's in that curved crescent banana shape. Well, it is. If you look at it, you actually pay attention.
I just like how I'm trying to bring up this point about characters' philosophies, and you're like, look at the colors. They match.
Well, no, because it's not. It's supposed to be a visual cue as well as just the personalities to invoke that. Okay, you're kind of like, you know, Kaito. This one's like the overlord version of Michi, little conniving, backstabbing son of a bitch. Like, I love how Michi just pointed out that guy's entire plan, like step for step, and he's like, "Shut up! How do you know that?" Because that's my plan.
I like how when Cid went back there, he was probably thinking, like, this chump Michi's so scared of me, he doesn't even want to challenge me for this fruit. Meanwhile, Michi's like, what an idiot.
Exactly. Like, I love watching Cid just get raped, though. Like, it's like the quote of the episode. Wow. Like, it was just funny to me. Like, he's like, I'm not going to take orders from anyone ever again. And, like, his armor's disintegrating around him. The Genesis driver just vaporizes. He's like, oh, fuck you.
He got
still
going to
fight
too.
You.
Like, what?
I'm like, oh.
And the driver got obliterated.
I know. Like, all that was left was his bowler hat, which I just thought was even funnier. Like, to me, that kind of shit's hilarious. Like, all that's left of Sid is his fucking hat. He's dead, and the fucking hat lives on.
I was half expecting Roshiro to just pick it up and put it on.
That would have been hilarious. Like, what is this for?
For whatever reason, him with that hat on reminds me of the fat caterpillar from Bug's Life. In fact, in general, he reminds me of the fat caterpillar from Bug's Life.
Oh my god.
I don't know. He's a fat caterpillar thing. He's like, oh, fruit. I don't know what his life is. You don't know his life.
I do remember when he went, roh, ha, fruit.
That's what he kept. That's what he's been saying to Takatora this whole time.
I'm pretty sure I got dropped off in the without aerosol timeline. It's kind of what this sounds like right now.
Sorry.
Are you trying to imply that Dawson and I are retarded? I believe you're implying Dawson and I are retarded.
Ryan's trying Maybe. To jump.
Your conversation just consisted of fruit.
Well, that's what that's
going with the flow.
That's what that faggot said he said. I was just repeating it back at him. Douche nozzle. Like,
he started it.
Don't ground me. It's all his fault.
Jumping back to Dawson's way earlier point.
Dawson had a point ever?
Yeah, that's when you started talking about colors.
Colors of what pants are made of.
Well, that's just true. You gotta give him that.
It's kind of interesting because Kaito was always sort of represented as this kind of just a flat-out power-hungry douchebag, but he was kind of honorable about it. And so you're always under the impression that if he did have this power, that he would basically just totally ignore anyone that was weak. And while I think he probably would and will, I like how he's been more supportive of Kota the past 10 or so episodes than he has in the past. And I think it's kind of neat that he's acknowledging that Kota has gotten stronger and needs to get even more stronger so that he can be in that position that Kaito actually wants to be in.
Wonderful grammar.
And I know, right? This is why I don't talk.
I was wondering about that.
Be able to protect people, points and stuff. I don't know.
Because I kind of got that vibe that he kind of, you know, recognizes that Kota could be the one to potentially win this, and that he needs to become the strong and make them the weak. And I don't know, because he
could bring balance to the Force.
And you know, he jumped into Earth. I mean, obviously, he was trying to fight that guy, which is part of his get strong thing, but he seemed to jump in without hesitation to protect people, you know, and their town from this rampaging shit.
Yeah.
And he died. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, from the very beginning, we've seen that Kaito isn't necessarily a bad person.
Yeah.
In one of the, I think it was the first episode or maybe the second, you know, we saw him helping children and stuff like that. He's not really a bad guy. He's just a little, you know, obsessive towards his one goal.
He's not bad, it's just misunderstood.
I like that there has been sort of this dynamic shift from, you know, the beginning of the series. We've seen Michi, you know, it was Michi who was on Kota's side against Kaito, and now it's the other way around. Kaido's the one sort of supporting Kota through a lot of things, while Michi's, you know, going behind his back and plotting against him.
Yeah, and I mean, I like how he just jumped in there to, like, grab Kota and take him out of there and be like, dude, you guys are fucking stupid. I'm going to take this guy to safety before you kill him. I really think that, you know, if it came down to it, I don't think he would, you know, he would protect Coda from Michi and his backstabbingness, despite half the shit he says. Because for some reason, he seems to be drawn to him and have that whatever kind of friendship type, you know, partnership they have. A mutual respect or whatever it might be. But yeah, I just kind of like that. I also like when he teams up with Knuckle at the end. Just, I don't know. I guess it's that Team Baron Jacket he refuses to fucking take off. So they kind of match and they're buddies and they team up again. I don't know. It's late. I start mumbling random nonsense. That makes no sense.
I
see his party.
I do kind of... I don't want to say I was disappointed with the outcome with Sid, because I'm not. I think a
you
lot
wanted
of it,
him to die?
I think a lot of it comes from the fact that I saw so many people talk about it before I got the chance to watch it, and they were talking about Sid, and then they'd follow it up with "can't say anymore" because spoilers. So I'm like, so he's gonna die. Like, yeah. just the very fact that you're saying that is like,
yeah,
something's gonna happen to Sid.
Like, Sid gets a new haircut. Like, he gets a new hat. No way. I can't believe you spoiled that for me.
So it's like either he gets the fruit, which is highly unlikely, or he dies. He dies.
Switches to a sideways baseball cap.
As much as it was spoiled, I kind of wasn't expecting it. I mean, I was, because it was spoiled. But, like, before it was spoiled, I didn't really think that was going to happen.
It was a pretty brutal death.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't expect him to get crushed to death.
Yeah.
Regardless of spoilers, I definitely wasn't expecting that.
Because a few episodes back, Takatora's quote-unquote death was pretty ambiguous and clear that he was going to come back, but this was, like, final. Like, you're dead.
You've been turned into a fine powder.
I did think it was kind of weird that Sid kind of walked up to get the, you know, the forbidden fruit, and Takatora is sitting there. Now, just two episodes ago, he threw Takatora off a cliff. Sid doesn't bat an eye at this. You know, he's just sitting there alive. Doesn't care.
Oh, didn't expect to see you again here. Ignores him the rest of the scene. Like, okay.
Come on, we've all had a murder go wrong. Am I right?
Yeah. It really sucks, too. Cops get involved, or... You know, your friend there that's an accomplice, he wants to, like, turn on you so you can get a plea deal. It's just a mess.
It'd be Michi.
I think another side of why I felt kind of weird about Sid's death was just... I don't know, it didn't necessarily feel like he had much of an arc. I mean, at the very beginning, he was just sort of this lock dealer, and then... You know, once he became a writer, he was a lot more vicious. But I don't know. It just seemed... It seemed anticlimactic. But I guess it is a good way of showing just how powerful the guy who has eaten the forbidden fruit.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think his purpose was to showcase that.
Yeah. Which is funny, because the last character to die, Hase, was essentially used for the same purpose, to showcase, you know, the
danger
things, you know, the danger of the fruit and kind of escalate everything. And he was killed by Sid. And now Sid's being used for the same purpose, to sort of, you know, escalate this whole thing and sort of showcase the danger and everything that's going on. I thought that
Circle
was kind
of life
funny.
Starts playing like the Lion King song during Sid's death. I picture it now.
We also got to see where the Kiwami key comes from.
Yeah, the forbidden fruit meant for the humans.
I kind of like the idea that it's just sort of this small piece of that power. It does explain why Coda can use all the fruit.
He gets all the fruit. And, you know, within that scene, there was also the bit about him, you know, well, stealing the fruit that was meant for the human winner, because he already has one, obviously, and him doing all this for some sort of woman that he used to love that was in a gravy's keeping.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Other Mai. She's all going to be the same person. It's going to be just Mai's from a bunch of different timelines. It's essentially going to be like our episode a few weeks back. That's what I'm predicting is going to happen. That was Mai from the darkest timeline because she had a lot of streaks in her hair.
Oh, I was going to say, this isn't actually white-haired Mai. It's actually just 90s Mai.
That's a scary thought.
It was funny.
Actually, thinking about Mai's wardrobe, it's probably not too far off from normal Mai.
That's very true.
She just has a gigapet on her belt. You know, it was funny when the Overlord broke into the human world and he said, "Man, your human world is so ugly." And then I was like, "Bitch, your place was made out of pottery."
Like, your place was literally the pottery barn.
Yeah, it's like, no wonder you lost. Seriously. See why your civilization lost. Your weapons were made out of clay. That's all I was trying to say.
But yeah, the whole thing with the female overlord, I guess, does give Guy Roshuo a motive, at the very least. So that's interesting. I wasn't expecting it, that's for sure. But
I like how it kind of, you know, furthers the idea that they used to essentially be people.
Yes.
Know, the forest took them.
And it does sort of, that one scene where he was talking about his dead lover or whatever, he still looked like Roshuo. He didn't look any different, which I thought was kind of weird, because now I just picture like Priestess Mai with like this weird mutant thing.
He looked a little less bulky, but yeah, he still looked like
a monster,
you know, like a creature.
Because he had mutated.
It is nice to finally see at least a possibility of who other Mai is after so long. That has been one of the few mysteries in Gaim that has continued.
Since episode one.
Yeah.
She hasn't really popped up that often, and, you know, every time she pops up to Coda, at least, she always, like, you know, drives home the point of, if you do this, like, your path is set in stone. So, I feel like now the more we know that, the more you know, sorry, I can resist, but the more we know about it, she could possibly just be referring to how similar some of the circumstances of them and the lymph node race had. But the way that she made it seem, it made it seem like it was some sort of certainty, like she'd seen into his future and she knew that it would go that way, but she very well could have just been talking about that she had seen a very similar situation play out before.
Yeah.
So, we'll have to see. I also like how different DJ Sagra's clothes are. Between, like, his DJ outfit and then this, like, crazy, looks like he's about to wake a cobra up outfit.
I'm even more curious now about what he is. Like, is he one of the overlords, or is he just another race, or human, or
an observer?
I'm dragging Steve back into podcast land.
Hey, Steve. Where's Bob?
He was kind of thinking that, the Sagra was more or less working for the forest itself, as opposed to being a overlord.
I wonder if that gets, like, you know, dental.
Does he get perks?
sort of like the forest's consciousness?
Yeah.
That could make sense, like a manifestation of it.
Because Sagara's kind of set up as a
liaison.
Middle ground. He wants all sides to have a fair shot. And obviously the normal humans need a lot of help. So Kota is more or less the chosen one that can use the power for good stuff. It's late. This is my... this is how I describe things.
For good stuff. I didn't even got that.
And so Sagara's like giving him a bunch of shit, and when he was talking with the Overlord, the Lord's like, "Oh, fine, here, take this," and he made the Kiwami seed, and he's like, "Here, go help your humans or apes or whatever the fuck he called them. I don't know. Everyone's a human, apparently." So I kind of right now I'm thinking along those lines that Sagara's a kind of either a personification of the forest or someone that's being guided by the will of the forest or something like that, because everything he does is more or less not that just derailed. Never mind, I'm gonna stop.
It's here. Not in favor
it's
of one
done to help humanity,
right?
Not necessarily to help one side or the other, but to
he's impartial.
Kind of guide them, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I couldn't figure out how to turn that into words, apparently.
You know, one thing I'm curious about is, you know, the lock seeds themselves are an invention of the humans as a way to, you know, harness the power of the fruit. Because obviously we saw that Rosho learned about it a couple weeks ago. So is that why or how he was able to turn the forbidden fruit into a sort of lock seed-esque device? Because his is just a glowing fruit.
It's a possibility.
Because, you know, Sagara, obviously he knows about that they made those armored rider systems, so that's... I'm kind of okay with him being able to turn an orange into that lock seed for him. But it just seemed strange since all the powers have had fairly good explanations of, you know, them. That's how they harness the power, and all of a sudden it just turns into the toy, which obviously they got to sell the toy, and they can't sell a glowing apple. But I was just kind of in my headcanon going for that he saw what their technology was like and was unable to make it, but I was just kind of curious. Because when I first saw it, I was thinking, did Sagara do it? But it was very clearly in his hands when he transformed it, or it transformed.
Yeah, no, I would buy that. Rosho seems like a smart feller.
He's got a good clump on his clump. You know, it's okay. Well, I'll stop. Well, that too. His milkshake brings all the riders to the yard.
What happened?
Little tentacles coming out of his eyeballs. This is really weird. Looks like he's crying. He probably is. It's probably part of his dying. He's crying about his Mai that died. Dead Mai.
Die.
Okay, then. I think that'll do it for time.
Oh, look, a vortex. I just set up.
No.
Wait, is there another bit,
no,
Garo?
The vortex is still a little bit away.
Look, I closed it. We fixed it. I just got some tape. I don't think it's going to hold. Probably just for a
hold
segment.
Hold off the vortex until me and Aerosol can talk about Garo.
I love how every time we quote-unquote time travel, Dawson always jumps the gun. Happened in the anniversary episode. Happens now.
Because now it's time for Garo's quarter.
Garo's quarter?
It's his quarter.
Next week, Garo's nickel.
Oh, he lost 20 cents.
Son of a bitch. So this episode was titled Family. And it wasn't about family. Well, it was kind of, but well, not anyone's family that matters.
It was about a horror pretending to be a family and a whole house, apparently. Yeah. A very creepy family that lured people into their house and then ate them. So that's fun.
that sums up the episode. There really isn't a whole lot of.
There's not a lot of plot progression in this episode. It's very much one of those episodes of Garo that sort of takes something kind of innocent or whatever and makes it creepy. I'm reminded of in season 2, there is an episode where this lonely couple, you know, planted this tree and then their son died. So they would lure people into their house and feed them and then drug them and then feed them to the tree.
I remember that.
Which is, now that I think about it, it's kind of a similar episode to this one, but
very much.
Yeah, there's not really a lot to talk about. It's mostly about the family eating people, with a few scenes of Gonza cleaning.
Those are my favorite scenes.
That's
what I've been doing.
But yeah, it's not super eventful. I do actually really like the house monster.
It does look kinda cool.
Because it's not CGI. It's actually just a big puppet. Which I thought was really neat. It looked really cool.
They don't do that too often.
No, they don't. Yeah, I mean it's a whole lot of a whole family and its children all speaking in unison about
the baby fight.
Did it?
I don't know. I was asking.
I don't know.
It was little. I probably couldn't see it.
I was expecting the baby to be the mastermind. I think the last we saw of it was when it was melting into its grandfather.
It's a nice way to describe Garo, basically. The baby was melting into his grandpa.
But yeah. I wish there was more to say.
After how great last week was, it's kind of upsetting that this week was very meh.
Yeah. I mean, it was an okay one-off episode, but just, you know, we're starting to get into that, like, midway point, and I kind of want a little bit of plot progression to kind of, you know, keep me going.
I feel like we should have more at this point.
Yeah. At the very least, find some of the horrors that, you know, have those, like, crystals or whatever that they need to find, because, again,
there 9 and then they have 3 or something like that?
Yeah. So I guess I can think of a couple of scenes that are not necessarily worth note, but were entertaining. The children melting scene was entertaining to me. I thought it was kind of funny when the family was going to grab that woman towards the end, and Raiga just shows up and kind of like pushes them off of her, and he's smiling, and it just reminds me of how slightly cocky Raiga is.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, he's just not as stern as
I watched the dragon movie. I don't remember what the fuck the title is. The crying dragon. I have no fucking idea. That movie. Holy crap. I swear to God I was on drugs. it's
cocaine's such a hell of a drug.
There's such a juxtaposition, because you've got Koga, who is just incredibly stern. And you've got this, like, wacky-ass world around him with, like, some avatar reject, like, the little troll guy. and Takatora dressed as a scarecrow. And that is basic. Oh, there was this little bear thing, too. He was neat. And so here's fucking Kogo, who's just, like, grump face the entire movie. And then all these other crazy-ass things are happening. And it was, God, it was such a weird movie. Like, I can't even explain it. Like, it was just weird. Like, nothing actually exciting happened at all. At one point, Goten turned into, like, this giant starship thing.
What?
Like, they gave him their magical misfit energy. And Garo and Goten, like, just turned into this big, like, drill starship. And it was a thing.
Does Trunks know about this?
No. Yes, the fusion dance. Trunks is part of it. It was Gotenks. Yep. I don't know. It was, God, it was just really...
That sounds more interesting than this episode.
It certainly was. Like, it was so off-the-wall weird. It was that weird that was kind of like the first season of Garo, just, like, completely random and strange. It carried a lot of that with it, but, like, plus a lot of drugs. And so I definitely recommend watching it, especially if, like, you need a laugh. Because it was, it was a trip. It was, that's what acid people feel like, I think.
That's not usually the thing that people recommend Garo for, you know, needing a laugh.
Like, that's what I felt like it was. Like, I couldn't take it seriously given what they were throwing at my face. I'm like, I can't take you seriously as a film. It, like most Toku movies, like, I couldn't take you seriously as a film, but you're definitely an acid trip. I'll give you that one. I didn't get around to watching the Zero Gaiden or the one with the chicks yet. But I watched that. I probably should have watched the one with the chicks. It might have been more amusing than Acid Trip the movie, but it was definitely worth taking a look at. I'll say that.
Okay, then. I'm tempted to watch it now.
It was worth it just to see Takatora dressed as a scarecrow. Like, hey, look, it's Takatora, so now, and then he, like, does, like, scarecrow shit. I'm like, oh, okay.
So Takatora. Now both brothers have been in Garo at one point.
Yep. Curious if anyone else in Gaim has.
Well, Ryoma.
But, oh, yeah.
He was a...
I forgot about the most obvious one.
Yeah. He was Agri. Much different character.
Oh, yeah.
He was a good guy. And not insane. Right. Honestly, I had actually forgotten that Michi was in Garo until people, like, mentioned it.
Yeah, I didn't recognize him.
He was just some random school kid.
I mean, it's not like he looked different or anything.
Yeah.
I just didn't pay enough attention in that episode to really have him stick in my brain. He was just a one-shot character.
Well, I mean, the episode itself was actually really boring.
Yeah, it was. It was in a school, so that's kind of an obvious thing. boredom.
Yeah, I think that'll do it for our Garo discussion.
How's that vortex, Dawson?
The tape just came off.
Oh no! Bye, guys. Come back. No, it got
like
Aerosol
flushed down a vortex.
No, it didn't. It got Kevin first.
Aerosol pulled the classic Aerosol. Look, the vortex got him. No, I'm still here.
Fuck it, I'm pushing you into the vortex.
Oh.
Cause now it's time for Ramble time.
Yup.
Yup.
Did you just notice Aerosol and Kevin just disappeared? I don't see him. Where did... Oh, well. We don't need him.
The vortex will spit him out.
Yeah.
some point.
Maybe. The Vortex happened.
I love Vortexes, except for the ones on
the network.
They're pretty awful.
That was such a failure. Saban. Power Rangers Lost Galaxy, their own show, did so bad they had to pull it. Speaking of that, when I'm probably doing like a full rewatch, I'm curious to get to that because everyone keeps talking about how amazing it was, and I just remember it being a hot mess.
Seriously. Lost Galaxy? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like it was terrible, but it was so random. Like, the show, so random. I mean, ever since Demi Lovato left, they didn't know what to do with Lost Galaxy. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. Because I remember especially rewatching the pilot for RNRRs, I was like, this is the most random pilot ever. These people, like, don't know each other. Mike! I'm like, they brought the threat to Dare Venture. It was, like, from the get-go, it was random.
It really was. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't like it, but I'll give it a rewatch at some point.
It'll be interesting. It'll take a while. But anyway, speaking of random things, Pokemon. usually it's not really worth bringing up because we kind of just meander around for 15 seconds. But there's not a terrible amount to say, but I just wanted to note that I actually enjoyed this episode because it was really interesting to see an actual evil Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't remember its name. Inky's evolution. Malamar. Inky 2? Oh, okay. Inky 2. Inky.
I mean, I agree. It's, like, because the episode kind of sets up the fact that Madam X, or, yeah, is the mastermind. And then it turns out that Malamar was just using Officer Jenny as a proxy for people to think that it's a person behind everything. And it's kind of funny because you go through this entire episode, and then this Malamar has some sort of devious plan to take over the world, and you have no freaking idea why.
I want to know. I got to know.
Like, it's just it's an insane Malamar. And, like, are all Malamar like this? Because it's kind of upsetting, because I like
I'm not going to let my Inke involve, or get involved in evil plots. When it evolves, I'm going to name it Inke 2, because that's what I thought its name was up until 15 seconds ago.
What would you like to name your Malamar? Inke 2. The streets.
Oh, we got to head back to the streets soon. We left prematurely. We don't need streets. Kamen Rider Drive. Damn it, pull this car around, Kevin. But yeah, it was just really interesting.
Yeah.
In particular because, you know, with how long this anime's been running, there's been numerous episodes where they drill in the fact that the Pokemon are evil, it's the people that are making them do it. I specifically always remember the episode where Pikachu and Bulbasaur, Charmander, and Squirtle were lost with Ekans and Koffing on that island.
Mm-hmm.
After the SSN crashed, and they, like, talked about how they just did what their masters wanted because they were their friends, and they've drilled that concept in several times. But that episode always stands out to me because I watched it a million times when I was a kid.
Yeah, I like that episode too. There's no people in it. It was subtitled. It was funny.
But yeah, it's just kind of funny to see that because this is the first time where it's not like, oh, the master is bad. It's like the Pokemon is bad. And I'm actually curious to see what happens if they... I don't know because I actually didn't look it up, but I went to go see if the next episode was a continuation of a storyline or if this was just going to be something that popped up later. And I noticed the next week, like, the Mega Evolution special's on.
Yeah.
I was like, I go over there, it's like, Mega Mission. I'm like, whoa, when's Ash going to become a Mega Force Ranger?
Yeah, make sure your DVR tapes it, because
yeah, mine, I said it already.
Mine didn't.
So.
Or mine won't, rather. I had to manually set it, but.
But that'll at least give us something a little more interesting to watch.
But, yeah, I'd like to know if this is going to pop up again, because I feel like it will, but as far as I know, it hasn't again in Japan yet.
Yeah, because I have been I pay attention to the screen caps every week, but, you know, there's a little bit of a gap, so I might not remember. That's why when I found out about the special when I went to check, because I'm like, is this going to be, like, a reoccurring villain, or is this going to be, like, a multi-part story? Like, you know, they had a couple of those last series.
Mm-hmm.
But if it hasn't appeared in Japan, I hope it does again, because I'm curious about it.
Yeah, because I like what they got going, and I don't really want to see it end up being some sort of one-shot, because, I mean, it legitimately escaped. It flew away.
Yeah.
And it would be a waste to have the
crazy nutso Pokemon escape and not bring it up again.
Yeah.
Especially because Meowth said that it's going to destroy everything it did and then start again. So it would be silly to not show him starting again.
Yeah, and just find out its motivation about why it's an evil Pokemon. That'll be interesting. It gives me something to actually be intrigued by other than, or look forward to in this show other than wanting to see Ash's battles.
Yeah. Because, I mean, as much as I don't mind X and Y as much as Black and White, it still hasn't been great.
Yeah, it's Black and White had that whole dumb Ash thing, and I hated the side characters more. These ones I don't mind as much. I can't remember their names were shit, but I don't mind them. But yeah, it's Pokemon in general. I'm still surprised I'm still watching it this loyally. I'm just like, one of these days, Ash is going to make it to the league and win. It's like I'm still holding out hope. One day he's going to become a Pokemon master. I'm like that sad kid who believes their kid that their parents had abandoned him is going to come back. Like, I swear, they're coming. They're going to be here.
Yeah, I haven't quite figured it out either, other than the fact that I love the franchise. I think it's the only thing keeping me here.
When I get in, like, real big Pokemon moods, like when I'm playing the game and, like, looking at a bunch of stuff online, I really do like to watch, like, some of the anime battles and stuff. Or, like, I'll get this, like, really huge craving to watch the show, and then I'll watch some random episodes. I'm like, man, this is boring. Let me just see some battles. I'm like a Toku fan. I'm like, let's screw the storyline. Let's just fight. Just stand next to each other and fight for no reason. I like how Toku fans are like meathead jocks.
Yeah.
But I still don't know why the Pokemon anime can't be better.
I don't know.
This doesn't
like,
make sense.
Even at a, it's for kids. So is Toku.
Yeah. Well, in all the other, you know, anime franchises in Japan that are based to sell kids merchandise, there's so many of them. I don't know. Yu-Gi-Oh! And Yu-Gi-Oh! GX, Yu-Gi-Oh! 5D. Well, there's stuff like, you know, Bakugan and Beyblades. Like, I haven't really watched them or anything, but whenever I see anything about them, you can tell, as dumb as it might be, they actually have a legitimate ongoing storyline going on. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of things, particularly in Japan, that are kids targeted, but that actually have an interesting story. So I don't know why Pokemon can't be more like Origins, not Wolverine. Cause like, and they're like, oh, continuity. But I'm just not sure what that's about, but obviously it's working because we're on the sixth set of Ash's Adventures that run 4 to 5 seasons each.
It's a lot of seasons.
Unfortunately, this is going to be an amazing segue. Unfortunately, things that didn't get to run a lot of seasons, Revolution. I'm so proud of that segue, man. That was so professional, and unlike when I'm like, speaking of tomatoes, Arrow. So Revolution wrapped up forever.
Yeah. It still makes me angry, especially after watching the finale.
Yeah.
Like, I hadn't watched the last two episodes the finale wasn't even out yet, but I didn't watch the previous episode when they announced that it was gonna end. And I'm still holding out a sliver of hope that it gets picked up somewhere, but I don't think it will. But I really want it to, because, I mean, I enjoyed the first season, but it wasn't, like, super duper, oh my god, this is the best. It was just something I liked.
I thought it was pretty unfocused.
It was all over the place, I think. But
you know, with the exception of the last minute, it could have been it wouldn't have been like, oh my god, it was an amazing finale. But if they wouldn't have that last scene, it would have been satisfying. Because they defeated the Patriots, and everyone was happy.
Right.
Except for Neville, because he's trapped.
Because if that last scene wasn't there, the Nanos are still out there, you're doing their shit. But it at least had a conclusion of the main story going on. And so I would have been okay with that, even if I was super curious about how the fuck they're going to deal with the really pissed off Nanos.
Yeah.
But I would have been okay with it And then they pushed it into season 3 that doesn't exist. And it sucks.
Like, and the thing is that, you know, I don't know how many more seasons they had planned, because I would have been fine seeing however much they had planned, but at the very least, they should have just done one more season, because the storyline they set up with the Nanos is, like, the perfect, like, final arc.
Yeah.
If they would have, even one more 13-episode season, I would have been happy.
Yeah, I was thinking they kind of had 3 in mind, the way that they kind of pushed it, because, I mean, after, if the third season was all about fighting the Nanos, there isn't a whole lot you can do after that.
Yeah.
Except, like, epilogue-ish stuff, like rebuilding the world, and no one really wants to watch that. That's something you do in the last, like, 15
minutes
of an episode.
Yes, we can. but, and I don't know whether they were trying to insinuate that the power was back on, or was it just where the Nano was going, but I'm not sure, because, you know, when that whole town lit up in the last scene.
Oh, yeah, it was because that's where the Nanos were.
But it would have been neat if the power was back on, because, like, that certainly would raise the stakes, because the Nano has people that can use stuff. Kind of like when Monroe got his hands on those power cores last season.
Right.
It was, like, this definite, you know, power behind him, because everyone's, like, sitting there, like, waving their cutlasses, and he's, like, shooting at them, and Danny's like, oh, my farmer shirt. So it would have been interesting, because I always kind of liked the idea of, like, the last season, them bringing the power back. Because I didn't want them to bring it back earlier like I thought they were, because that was part of the charm of the show.
Because speaking third season, you would have the Nano people that, like you said, in very much like the end of season 1, middle part area, whatever.
somewhere around there, just points
that
to
thing
the
over there. It would have been a case very similar to that, with everyone else being restricted to swords and guns, whereas the Nano would have a bunch of mass weapons, really, that would need power to function. And they would have that, and then the good guys wouldn't. So it would have been a really interesting fight, I think, to see that pulled off, and unfortunately, we won't, but...
Yeah, because it's not like, you know, if the power went back on, we'd go back to a world like normal. Everyone's, like, sipping coffee at Starbucks. It would be a struggle to see who gets what.
Because you would definitely have a very much an imbalance.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, the power's back on, we can go back to eating McDonald's and sipping Starbucks.
Yeah.
That's not going to... It's not going to happen. But
someone just did the counter at, like, an abandoned, withered McDonald's, like, banging on the counter, like, hey, where's my service? The power's back on. Why aren't the burgers being made?
Because cows don't exist anymore, Jenkins.
The power. Didn't you know cows were electronic? They all went out. Everyone knows that. They're
so
like,
that really does. That really does.
Sorry.
It does irritate me that we won't see that, but strictly talking, like, the later half of season 2, it really picked up.
It did. This whole season, honestly, I was thinking about it, and there were probably a couple of moments, but I don't remember an episode where I was bored.
Yeah.
It's like every episode was, like, pretty action-packed, like, and then the ones that weren't were, like, well, they still were, was, like, the Aaron one, which was just interesting to watch.
Oh, because he was in his head?
Yeah, because I love those, like, everything's normal, but I know that the world's really crazy episodes, because it leads to a lot of sort of funny references. But, like, I couldn't remember an episode that was boring. Like, this season has kind of been a roller coaster.
And I think that is one of the most interesting things is, like you said, it's a roller coaster. It's very much back and forth. Like, as soon as something concludes, something else begins. And the season did a very good job of having, like, 2 to 3, sometimes maybe even 4 different storylines all going on at the same time. And then at some point they would meet and then diverge again. And it would just keep doing this split-meet-split-meet thing.
yeah.
that I thought was actually really, really interesting. Yeah, it always kept you on your toes.
I really liked that they had Neville and his son essentially separated from the entire cast for like over half of the series, or this season. Which was interesting because, you know, the world's kind of big. It's not, you can't, you know, get to people's houses very fast. So it took them a while to get there, and they were kind of on their own, which was interesting. And yeah, they did a really good job of that. Because last season, you know, I enjoyed the very beginning of it. And like I mentioned when we did our discussions last season, I felt they were very unfocused. I felt like they were introducing a lot of things very quickly. They're like, Miles and Monroe. And Miles was banging his sister-in-law. Oh, and then he also shared a girl with his other friend, and there might be a kid. It was like there were so many things they were trying to do. But this season, they really did a good job of focusing. They're like, all right, we're going to do the Patriot storyline. That's the main storyline. And then they have the Nanos going on as like the secondary storyline that was going to be setting up for season 3. And it was not perfect. You know, it wasn't like a perfect, like, you know, season of television, but it was a damn good season of television, and they did a good job of focusing right in on it. And there wasn't too many, like, random subplots, because everything had to do with what was going on, which is really nice.
Because the subplots were actually the main plots.
Yeah.
Like, just split into all these different little segments, and I think that's what kind of irritates me the most, is that season one was very disjointed, but it still got picked up again.
Yeah, that's because, you know, it did really well at first.
Uh-huh.
You know, the numbers were pretty solid. I mean, I don't know like the exact numbers, but I know they slowly went down, but it was good enough to get a pickup. But then I think kind of like the feelings I had about it were what a lot of people had, so they just decided not to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided to give it a few episodes, and it ended up being awesome. And I'm glad I did. So I think that's kind of what happened. Because they really found their focus.
Like, I feel like if they could have maybe even another just half season, as long as they knew how much room they had, I think they could probably end it strong.
Yeah, I mean, just another 13 episodes would have been fine. Because they pretty much set up this sort of final arc and not stretch it out.
And especially because what they had set up for the final arc, I really want to see.
Yeah.
Like, very early on in the season when the Nanos started developing their kind of feelings, so to speak, I was kind of anticipating the fact that they were going to end up having to fight the Nanos, and then they just kept doing Patriot stuff over and over again.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, maybe later. And then they're like, oh, it's canceled. I'm like, oh, no. And then the finale happened, and they're like, oh, we have to fight the Nanos. I'm like, oh, son of a bitch, I called it. And now I can't see it.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Obama. Obamacare got Revolution canceled.
Truth.
But, yeah, I was wondering about that, because the majority of the stuff was focused on the Patriots, but we had, you know, Aaron's large focus was the Nano, which is kind of funny because he would come up upon the revolution, the Patriot staff would be like, oh, okay, whatever you guys are doing, you do your little side project, I'm pretty busy. Like, it just seemed really funny. Like, he's like, I don't even have time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. I have a psycho Nano wife to take care of. She's brushing an old lady's hair to death. To death! But, you know, even though the Patriots was the main focus, like, especially in the last, like, quarter of the show, the Nano stuff sort of started revving up with her, you know, taking on that sort of generic villain thing of humanity only destroys itself. I gotta fix itself. It's like, blah, 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 with that stuff. So let us destroy ourselves. Where was I going with this? Oh, yeah, and I was wondering when I found out it was canceled, and even before that, like, how the finale was going to play out. I was like, are, like, the Patriots and the Nano finales all going to happen at once, and the stories converge or have two separate conflicts, or are they going to save one for later? Like, I didn't know, because, you know, last season ended on a cliffhanger, and this one did too, but I mean, like, you know, with the power coming back on, so right. I was like, I wasn't sure whether everything was going to converge or if they were saving something for later. And they wound up sort of resolving the small conflict with Priscilla, you know, like an episode or two before, and then largely focusing on the Patriots. So
smacker.
Yeah. but yeah, it's unfortunate because I would have. I hope they at least do one of those things. There's very few shows that I've watched that got canceled that have done this, but occasionally I've seen like the writers give interviews and say this is what we were going to do, and I like to read that.
Yeah,
kind of like Green Lantern.
Yeah, I hope something like that happens. Jeff brings it up all the time, but was it the old Lois and Clark show, I think?
Oh, the Superman one?
Yeah.
They were going to do a plot where she moved to Wisteria Lane and then do Desperate Housewives.
Right.
Okay.
but that ended, and then they released, I don't know if they were scripts or stories or whatever they did to finish off what they were going to do. And I think that's cool. Like, just give us an interview or, like, a... I don't want to say a novel, that's stupid, but... it's just some sort, something to give us an idea of what was going on.
Yeah.
And I want to see it, and I won't, and I'm mad.
I won't, and I'm mad, and... But I was going to say more about just the season overall. They just, I think I already sort of said it, but they just did a really good job of being focused, and it was a lot of fun. There was a lot of action. Oh, this is what I wanted to mention. I really appreciated how Monroe's arc paid off. Mm-hmm. Because last season he was kind of this horrible dictator, and they sort of showed that he used to have a friendship with Miles, which I'm still pissed we never got decent flashbacks for, by the way. I was legitimately interested in that time period. Like a history buff of fiction. But anyway, this season was a lot about not necessarily like a full-on redemption, but it kind of showed that he was more of a gray area character. And the storyline was about more that he could be trusted and that he wasn't completely far gone. And I like that in the finale, he didn't betray Miles and it paid off and he didn't have some big I'm a dick moment.
Yeah,
and I was really, because he was honestly probably my favorite character this year. I mean, because I'm always like a sucker for those sort of, you know, rogue villain characters, and he was a badass, and he had some really funny lines, and I'm just really glad that his arc paid off and that he wasn't a dick by the end, because he had that whole thing about taking the Republic back, which I was really annoyed at.
He was very back and forth this season.
Yeah.
But in a way that I think was decently written, because it wasn't one of those things where he was going back and forth because the writers didn't know what they wanted to do. It was that he was going back and forth because that's just the sort of person he is.
Yeah. He was kind of torn between wanting his empire back and his friendship with Miles.
And I think the greater thing ended up winning at the end.
Yeah.
And... little bitch boy got angry, but...
yeah, he was confusing, because they had a couple, I don't want to say like an arc, but like some conversations and like story near the beginning of his introduction to the group when he was banging Charlie, where him and Charlie had conversations where she was trying to convince him, like, you know, do you really want to be like Monroe, like he was evil before? And they sort of showed him a bit conflicted about it, mm-hmm. And so it seemed really strange that ultimately, he was the one that was sort of the antagonist to that conflict.
Yeah, I thought that was weird. Because at the beginning, he was very much, okay, let's do our empire thing. And then he kind of progressed in a way in which he was like, you know, maybe that's not such a good idea. We might die. so I don't know if I like this a lot. And then, like, Miles and Merle hopped on the train.
Yeah,
and he got left with Neville, and then all of a sudden he was like, oh, I fucking need an empire.
And Neville's like, I need a new sidekick. Can you just stay behind me and stay quiet like Jason did?
Everyone I know is dead.
We're never even clear on what happened to his wife. I think she went to 24. that's what happened. She literally is with the president, so... But yeah, I think that was more confusing. Like, Monroe's back and forth made a little more sense, but I think he was more erratically written in that sense near the end. Because I completely expected him to be like, I thought it was going to be a generic he falls for Charlie storyline and redeems himself. But at the very least, I kind of assumed him to be like, you know, maybe we don't want to be evil. And then that's when Monroe sort of realized he doesn't need to be evil again.
Yeah.
Completely. But it wound up being Monroe's like, look, he's my bro. And his son's like, ah! That's not what he did. He wasn't that irrational.
Bros before sons.
Sons. That's essentially what it came down to. But yeah, that was a bit strange. So I'm kind of curious where they would have went with him.
I think the show was canceled because it had an antagonistic U.S.
That's probably the government shut it down.
Yeah. Like, oh, nope. This is putting the U.S. in a bad light.
To be fair, it was like
ideas.
I was very confused about that. Like, when the storyline started, I'm like, why did the president get so evil in Cuba? Like, is it that bad there? And then they showed that it really wasn't the president, and the legit president at the time died, and he was just some sort of like a senator or something that was like power hungry, or he was, I don't remember what his position was, but he was just some sort of level in the government. He was either a general or a senator or a congressman or something, but he just all of a sudden became president. So I'm like,
I don't remember who you were, but you were an asshole.
Yeah. But I was like, why did the legit president go evil? But it was sort of like a warped version of America that developed in Cuba, as these things do. I'm glad that storyline at least reached a satisfying conclusion with them getting him arrested and taking down the Patriots and whatnot.
I like how a group of like 10 people at max just took out the entire Patriots.
That's usually how it happens. Well, to be fair, now the Texas people are going to all go wipe all the soldiers out everywhere, but they sort of took it down, or the main part of it. I like how when they burst in to like save all those people from being gassed, Miles just shoots a gun in the air and says, "Get out of here, you idiots!" They turned on Reverend Candom so fast. Like, dude, this guy, seventh heaven. How do you not trust him? Look at his face. He's about to have like 10 kids. Like, oh man. But yeah, I'm legitimately gonna miss it. It's kind of a surprising turnaround. Like last season, I was like, "Don't care. I'll check out the first episodes, but it sucks." And this season, I'm like, "No, but the nano. I want to see her make old ladies brush their hair to death again. That stuff was so creepy."
It really was, especially the fact that it has the power to do that.
Yeah.
But what I'm getting curious about is that Aaron and Priscilla eventually like kicked the nano out of them.
Uh-huh.
Does that like put up a barrier? Can the nano not get in ever again?
I guess.
Because I'm sitting here going, can't the nano just go back in Aaron's head and try again?
Like game over. Please try again.
It's like, oh, I defeated you once. You can't enter me anymore.
I don't know. I guess
my brain. I know your schemes.
I guess for the logic of the show, because you know they were trying to get in and he didn't let him, and she let them in. Because she wanted to make fake waffles with her kids or something. I don't know what her excuse was.
Waffles.
But, yeah, I'm not sure how that works. I mean, I guess it's just more difficult for them to get in because they have a stronger resolve.
That's my guess, because basically if you were a main character, you weren't bothered by them.
Because this is going to be a hard enemy to defeat.
Like, fucking, wow, I'm blanking on her name.
Rachel?
Yeah. like,
Juliet.
She fucking, like, smacked him and shit. And I'm like, why don't you go inside her head? I was confused on how this works.
Yeah, it is a bit confusing. That was a more strange element. I like how she just slaps her and she's like, "You're my damn science project." I'm like, go, Juliet. Tell those others. Wait, this isn't Lost. But yeah, it is kind of confusing. And it is kind of funny because, you know, outside of the idea that all of electricity is off, the show is fairly grounded in its concept. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, it's the Patriots thing, you know, it's all fantastical, but it was all grounded storylines that were fairly plausible. And there was no, like, science fiction-y elements, but the nano was very science fiction-y. And it was just kind of funny to see those two storylines run parallel at times.
Yeah, because, like, on one side it was, like, a almost like a sci-fi thriller, and then on the other side you had, like, an old-timey war thing going on.
Yeah, because even, like, the first season, because, like, the most, unless I'm forgetting anything, the most unbelievable concept of the base premise is that electricity couldn't be turned back on somehow. But beyond that, there was no, like, spaceships or powers or anything. It was fairly realistic of taking a look at what the world would be like if we suddenly couldn't turn the lights on. Mm-hmm. And then this season, they're like, ooh, magic lightning bugs. I'm like, okay, I'll bite.
okay, I guess.
Because I didn't expect the why the power went out storyline to take that turn. but as weird as it was, I definitely wanted to see where it was going to go. The world may never know. No. Now that they have Zombie Neville and Zombie President Guy. And Zombie whoever else they approached. I feel like they approached someone else. Oh, poor Neville. He never really got a break.
Nope.
I felt like at the beginning of the season, he was going to be more... Not like Monroe, not redeemed, but more fighting on their side. But he kind of wound up being roughly the same as he was last season in terms of his loyalties were all over the place. And he just kind of was attacking anybody. He was like a rabid dog, essentially.
Kind of. He was like, I just hate everyone.
Because I liked his storyline at the beginning, him infiltrating the Patriots. Mm. And then as soon as they like started blackmailing him, like he was just like last season, like all over the place. Which is, it's kind of unfortunate because I think he could have had a lot more potential because the actor is really good. He played Gus in Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But overall, it was a fun show that I'm glad I watched. I might... At some point when I don't have so many things I want to watch and then rewatch, maybe rewatch the first season and see if it comes off as better. But it was definitely worth watching, and I'm not upset that I spent the 2 years watching it, and I'm sad it didn't get a third season. Sorry, I just reminded you, Brian. You forgot for a second.
God, then. This is what we were talking about.
So many things. Yeah, that's Revolution. Now it's dead. Oh! One last thing I wanted to mention, they did a really good job of making Charlie not annoying this year.
Yeah, like I was joking at the beginning about how she turned into a whore. And at least she turned into a badass whore.
Yeah.
Like,
that's the kind of whore you want to be.
Like, she was using a fucking crossbow for most of this season.
She was like the Daryl of Revolution.
Just like flipping over shit and shooting with crossbows. I'm like, oh man. Don't piss her off.
Because I liked her character this season. Like, she didn't have amazing storylines or anything, but she just kind of hung to the back, and she was kind of a badass, and she was quiet, and she spoke up when she needed to, and she kind of came into her own as this character. Whereas last season, I felt like they were trying too hard to make her happen. Like, this is our main character. Like her. Like her. She has so many layers. And, like, I felt like they were trying too hard. But this season, the sort of laid-back, she kind of became a badass approach worked really well. And I always liked her dynamic with Miles. So that worked this season, too. Like, I like how they were just having fun and during their fights.
Uh-huh.
Like, they're just shooting a bunch of people on the train. And he's like, that was pretty fun. but so yeah, I wanted to say that before we finish, is I was very pleased with the way that she was handled. Stop trying to make, I forgot her name now. I almost said Rachel. Damn it, I was just talking about Charlie happen. She's not going to bite anybody. And I think that's it for Ramble Time. It was pretty much just Revolution and Pokemon this week. I think Turtles is back maybe next week. I don't know. Ask Queefs. But it'll be back soon. I know it's going to be back for 2 weeks. He has. I just don't remember it. I think it's going to be pretty sporadic, but it's not going off for a very long period of time from what I remember. He'll probably mention it in the review or tweet about it while he's listening to this. Thanks, future Queefs. No idea when Ben 10 comes out. Aerosol and I will talk about Arc 5 occasionally, but I'm not really motivated to watch right now, so... I don't know what else is coming to Ramble Time near you. Maybe an Arrow discussion. I don't know where Kevin is. I'm going to forget all that happened.
We might talk about Falling Skies when that starts.
Oh, yeah. That'll be fun. Creepy, accelerated children. Not like fast kids. Children, just accelerated aging. She's so creepy.
Through all the flesh.
That's going to be in the fall. We're going to talk about accelerated children called Barry Allen.
Fall Ramble Time is actually going to be pretty fun.
It is, because Brian's going to catch up on all the shows. Mm-hmm. That's going to happen. If we say it, we'll make it happen, guys. Every, start a campaign.
Every fucking show will get seriously watched by me.
If Brian watched all the shows he needed to watch, Ramble Time in the Fall will be amazing, because we those shows have like so much more interesting stuff to talk about than Pokemon, Pokeballs. Like the Revolution discussion. See, that was a good discussion, because it had interesting stuff to talk about in characters. That's what the whole thing would be like.
We're going to have to split the show into two. Do a Toku show and then an other shit show.
We'll just call that show Ramble Time, and then like underneath it'll just say the other shit show.
The OSS. We joke, but that might actually have to happen. We'll
never
see.
Know. And then it'll get canceled, like RRRR. We'll get another host. Who knows? All right. Well, that's now it's time for...
Final Thingies!
Final Thingies, MP3, because yep. The Vortex sucked up Kevin.
Yep. Poor Kevin got sucked out by a failing network. So, in Final Thingies, don't forget to check out the Captain Contest. You got another week on that. You can leave Twitter questions if you so desire. We should probably check those next week.
Probably now.
I haven't checked them in a while, but feel free to leave them and do stuff and tell your mom you love her and eat cookies.
The good kind, not the shit kind. Fuck Keebler.